Well, good morning. We will pick up where we left off last week. So if you are coming for the first time, you may need to jump back and listen to that at a later date. But remember, we are in Luke chapter 8, and we are looking at the parable of the sower. And this is a parable that Christ taught. Go ahead and start out by reading this passage. If you would like to take your copy of God's Word, and I know you just sat down, but we'll have you stand up again for the reading of God's Word if you're able. Luke chapter 8, let's begin in verse 4. It said, when a large crowd was coming together, and those from the various cities were journeying to him, he spoke by way of a parable. The sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell beside the road, and it was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air ate it up. Other seed fell on rocky soil, and as soon as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it out. Other seed fell into the good soil and grew up and produced a crop 100 times as great. As he said these things, he would call out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." His disciples began questioning him as to what this parable meant. And he said, "To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is in parables, so that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those beside the road are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart, so that they will not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky soil are those when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no firm root. They believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. The seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard, and as they go on their way, they are choked with worries and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to maturity. But the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you would utilize your word to transform our hearts, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, you would convict where conviction is needed. You would bring about regeneration where it is needed, that you would bring about salvation where it is needed. Lord, that you would encourage us to be those who bear much fruit. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Well, last week, we'll do a quick review. We looked at one divine purpose to reveal hearts producing fruit. We looked at the reality that Christ made a transition to speak in parables. And this actually confused his disciples, and they wanted to understand why. And Christ made the point. He was basically preaching in parables so that the hearers' hearts would be revealed by the fruit they produced, that the mysteries of the kingdom would be preached to them so that they that are true disciples would be revealed. When he says to them that the ones that would hear but not understand and see but not really see, right? Seeing they might not see and hearing they may not understand. What he's saying is that true followers of his would understand, just like the disciples, and everybody else would just get kind of a question mark, a parable. And as we talked about last week, Christ defines what the seed is. It's the same seed for everyone. It is the Word of God. This is the gospel. It's an unchanging staple to this whole parable. It's the Word of God. Same seed, same sower, same message. This means that the problem that we see come up in the parable is never about the seed. It's not the seed's problem, right? It's the soil's problem. In the same way, the problem is never the Word of God, but it's always the heart that is receiving it. The Word of God falls on four different hearts in this parable. The Word of God doesn't fail. It's either rejected, resisted, choked, or it bears fruit. When we talk about this, we have to understand, we need to ask the question of ourselves, which soil or which heart looks like mine? Right? Four different hearts revealed here, and we need to ask the question, which one looks like me? So today, I want to quickly move through the two that we looked through last week and then move on to the last two. So let's look at these four different hearts. The first is the hard heart. All right? This is the seed that fell beside the road. We see a picture of this, that it's trampled underfoot, it's smashed, or it's grabbed by birds, and we're told by Christ exactly what it means in verse 12. Here, there's a picture that the devil comes and he takes it away. He steals it with a purpose. He steals it from their hearts so they will not believe and be saved. These are hard-hearted individuals. It's very much like the Pharisees. The Pharisees are not coming with soft hearts. They're coming with hard hearts, with worldly wisdom. And they're rejecting Christ. They don't understand it. They can't comprehend it. And there is no belief in them. This is the first of the soils. If you're here today and this is you, you know you do not believe in Jesus Christ. You've heard it. Doesn't make any sense to you. Don't like it. Don't want to submit to it. You just are who you are and you know you are unsaved. This is the first heart. That hard heart that rejects God, that fights with God. But when we get into the next two, it gets a little bit more iffy because there is a perception of life. The second heart is the shallow heart. And as we're told about this shallow heart, it grows up, right? Verse 6, other seed fell on rocky soil, verse 6, and as soon as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. Now there's this picture that at least something, a little shoot, has sprung up. But quite quickly, as it springs up, it withers away. There's nothing left. And Christ explains this particular shallow heart. It's on rocks. It can't grow deep. When the sun comes, it is burned away. This is the word received with joy without root. Right? Look at verse 13. Those on the rocky soil are those who, when they hear, so they hear it, they receive it, they receive the word with joy, and these have no firm root. They believe for a while, and in time of temptation, fall away. There's an idea of immediate reception. There's a shallow, superficial heart here that says, yeah, I think I like that. Let me add that to my collection. Mark 4:16 relates this to the first soil. He says, and in a similar way, the first soil and the second are linked together. There's a temporary nature to this belief or faith. We can understand this like many of the Galileans who came around and they saw Christ's miracles and they're excited by it and they have an overwhelming joy. But then when hardship comes, they desert him. This is a person who hasn't counted the cost of following Christ. They want the benefits without the sacrifice. They're just looking for Jesus to solve their problems. So when a problem comes along, their faith is shown for what it is, a false faith. It's on their terms that they come to Christ, and so when problems come, it does not relate to what they believe God should be about, i.e., their health, wealth, and happiness. It's a passing fad. It's something that sparks their fancy, but when push comes to shove, it's gone. This is contrast with what we see in someplace like 1 Peter 1:7, that true saving faith, though tested by fire, is how he puts it, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Peter was preaching to a bunch of refugees who are being persecuted by Rome. And so when he says fiery trials, he means fiery trials and possible death. As I quoted last week, it says, trouble is the test of true Christian faith. When troubles come, the rootless will fall away, but faithful Christians will grow stronger through their pain. All right, we've seen the hard-hearted, we've seen the shallow and superficial heart. Let's go ahead and look at the divided heart. We see this in verse 7 where we see that the seed fell among. And I want you to notice this. It's an interesting progression. It's beside, it's on, not in, it's among, but the good soil is into. It goes down in. This falls among thorns. As we talked about last time, this is a normal thing. When the sower went out and he spread the seed, right? Some of it falls in places where thorns are present, in the seeds of thorns. They grow up. It appears to be good soil. But when it moves a little farther along, you see that maybe there's some tares and some thorns among the wheat. The weeds come up, the thorns come up and choke out this plant. First soil, no growth. Second one, a little bit. This one, a little bit more. But Christ, in verse 14, explains this particular parable. This divided heart, this distracted heart. Look at verse 14. The seed which fell among the thorns. These are the ones who have heard, and as they go on their way, they are choked. How? With worries and riches and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. What do all three of these first soils or hearts have in common? No fruit. They're all equal in that regard. There's no fruit. As we talked about last week, why does a farmer plant seed? To get produce. You don't plant tomato plants to just look at the green that's on them. You plant them so that you get those nice succulent tomatoes, you know, the juice that runs down your face if you like to bite into them with a little salt. Some of you are salivating right now. Others are a little disgusted, but that's okay. We see this divided heart, the word choked out by competing loves, competing passions. This is a preoccupied and distracted heart. It adds faith to all the other particular pleasures. It's kind of like saying, I will add Jesus to my life and follow him if I can keep my own focus and priorities. We'll add him in. As long as I don't need to change anything, I'm good. Maybe another way to say this that might prick all of our hearts is this is the busy person. Lots of competing priorities, and Christ is just one priority among many. And as we talked about several weeks back, Christ is not seeking to be a priority in your life. He is seeking to be preeminent above that which is of first importance, over all. This type of person will show great interest in spiritual things but have no time because it's consumed by many other activities. It's like saying, yes, Lord, I will take up my cross as long as it doesn't get in the way of hunting, fishing, sports, my vacations, and my hobbies. Yes, I will hate everything in this world except for the things that I love. Notice it's as they go on their way. They don't have a new path. It's just their path with something added in. They go on their way, and as they go on their way, they're choked. Look at the three different things that choke out. Maybe we can call them three thorns. Mark, when he speaks of them this way. Worries of the world, deceitfulness of riches, desires of other things. Luke here says it's worries, riches, and pleasures. So let's take a moment and look at that. What sort of things would fall under worries? Be worries about finances. Could be worries about family, relationships. It could be politics. Could be about our own image, our own success. Could be about our children. All the different worries that can come up, all the different things that we set our hope on. These worries can choke out faith. The next he lists is riches, and this one's a little more easy to understand, right? There's probably even verses that come to your mind when you hear riches choking out faith. This is much like the rich young ruler, right, that runs up to Christ and says, I want to follow you. And he says, I've kept the whole law. And Christ says, well, go take your wealth and give it to somebody else, to the poor. And he goes away grieved because he loved his money more than he loved Christ. Little side note here, Christ is not telling all of us to go and live in a pauper's field and give everything that we have to the poor. Christ understood the rich young ruler's heart and that he loved money more than Christ. The principle is, if you find yourself loving money more than Christ, start giving generously. Store up riches in heaven, okay? Matthew 6:24 puts it well, Christ does. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Notice, not prominence, but preeminence. 2 Timothy 4:10 speaks of Demas, having loved this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. There's a deserting that happens there. Riches easily and the pursuit thereof can capture the heart. A thorn. But then there's the pleasure of life, the pleasures of life. This could be a lot of different things, couldn't it? Enjoying good things that God created to be enjoyed, but elevating them to a level that they were never meant to be. Right? In terms of relaxation, in terms of hobbies, things that give us pleasure, but when that pleasure takes the place of the giver of it, there's a problem. be lots of good things. 1 John 2:15 says, "Do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." John 12:24-25, he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it to life eternal." We've seen three different types of soils here, haven't we? And as has been stated, this type of soil, this thorny soil, this divided heart, doesn't bring any fruit or to maturity. It doesn't bring about any produce. One commentator put it this way, he says, "The things of this life form one of the greatest dangers which besets one's path. The money, the pleasures, the daily business of the world are so many traps to catch souls. Thousands of things which in themselves are innocent become, when followed to excess, little better than soul poisons and helps to hell. Open sin is not the only thing that ruins souls. In the midst of our families and in the pursuit of our lawful callings, we have need to be on our guard. Except we watch and pray, these temporal things may rob us of heaven and smother every sermon we hear. We may live and die thorny grounded hearers." Well, we've seen three different soils. And if you were the sower and you just looked at these first three, you would be very disheartened. They're the same in terms of the reality that they produced nothing. All three of them. They got a little bit higher, but they were wiped out. Persecution and pleasure of the world hindered people from bearing fruit. In both cases, the individuals are picking up their crosses and following their own way. Their relationship with God in both cases, for the second and the third, right? The shallow and the divided heart. It's faith on their terms. It's faith as they want it to be. This is false religion of one's own making. One commentator said the following. He says, "What the minister has to do," speaking of spreading the gospel, "is to go forth in his master's name and scatter precious truth. If he knew where the best soil was to be found, perhaps he might limit himself to that which has been prepared by the plow of conviction. But not knowing men's hearts, it is the business to preach the gospel to every creature, to throw a handful on the hard heart yonder and another handful on the overgrown heart, which is full of cares and riches and pleasures of this world. He has to leave the fate of the seed in the care of the master who gave it to him, for well he understands that he is not responsible for the harvest. He is only responsible for the care, the fidelity, and the integrity with which he scatters the seed right and left with both his hands. We are bound to preach the gospel, whether men will hear or whether they will forbear. Let men's hearts be what they may. I am not loosed from my obligation to sow the seed on the rocks as well as in the furrows, on the highway as well as in the plowed field." Brothers and sisters, if you are good soil here today, you are called to follow in your Savior's footsteps, preaching the gospel, spreading the word. And it doesn't matter what type of heart it may fall upon. It is God who has to cause the growth. Well, we have seen a hard heart. We've seen a shallow heart. We have seen a divided heart. And finally, we see the receptive heart. Notice that it falls into or in, as verse 15 says, and into, as verse 8 says, the good soil. We'll look at verse 15. Christ explains it. He says, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart and hold it fast, bear fruit with perseverance. This is a picture that every farmer would love to have, right? He scattered the seed, and what happens? He gets a hundredfold. Just to remind you, a hundredfold at that time would have been a bumper crop. Averages were about a 10% return. With weeds and with lack of rain or water, 10-fold would be good. 100 would be a bumper crop. Multiply that by 10. It's a once-in-a-long-time sort of a crop. Every single farmer would want this, and here is the point that's brought up. It goes into the good soil, it grows up, and what does that mean? It means that these are ones who hear. They understand what they've heard, because it goes down into a heart. It's a sincere heart, and it's a good heart. Question: how did they get a good heart? How did they get a rocky heart? How did they get a thorny heart? How did they get a hard heart? I want to place that question in your mind, because in the parable, we're not told what produces these things. We're only told the result. The result of the Word of God when it lands on different types of soil, different types of hearts. We've already seen, obviously, in verse 9 and 10, right? That to you, specifically in verse 10, when he's speaking to the disciples, it has been granted to know. And to some others, it has not been granted to know. God is sovereign with regards to salvation and the growing of the plant, the production of the fruit. This is the word received, retained, and reproduced. God's word goes down into the heart, it grows up, and it produces fruit. Compared to all the other soils, this is the one. This is the only one that is receptive to the Word of God that produces saving faith. Just as the purpose of sowing a seed is to reproduce, so too the purpose of the Word of God spread is so that it might go down into the heart and come out and reproduce more spreading of that Word. Let's look at what fruit marks out inside of Scripture. Number one, fruit marks out the true believer. John 15:8. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Gives a mark or an evidence of saving faith. We know that it's the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit is produced by the Holy Spirit in us. Galatians 5:21-23 says, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. We want to talk about what type of fruit does it produce. It produces these things ever growing in us. There's a fruit of righteousness, Ephesians 5:9. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. The fruit of good works, Colossians 1:10. So that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. The fruit of love, right? 1 John 4:7 and 8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. We're not talking about that normal love that we fake, the cheap counterfeit where we love the people who love us. No, we're talking about the type of love Christ talked about back in chapter 6, right? Where you love your enemy. You do good to those who dislike you. Notice, this is the one who has heard it. It goes down into a sincere and good heart. Matthew's explaining the same thing, says, hears the word and understands it and bears fruit. In all three Gospels, we see a picture that's put forth that the key is that one truly understands, holds fast, and bears much fruit. It's important to make a distinction here. Fruit does not save you, right? Even as Christ has talked about. Fruit shows what type of tree you are, right? Thorn bushes don't produce figs. But fruit also shows what type of heart you have. Is it one that has been receptive? Fruit can only be brought about by the work of the Holy Spirit in you. But that fruit shows you to be what you are. As a farmer may plant seeds and with different results, he still desires the one result, that it would produce much fruit. This is God's desire as well. When the seed of the word of the gospel of Jesus Christ is sown in different hearts, his desire is for saving faith to reproduce. For those who are in Christ, for those who say, yes, I see the fruit of the Holy Spirit being reproduced in me day in, day out, we should take great encouragement from this parable. We should take great encouragement because, you know what? There are going to be people who have hard hearts. They're going to reject the gospel outright. There are going to be people who have shallow hearts. They're going to be along for the ride until there's hardship, and then they're going to go away. There are going to be people who have distracted hearts. But we're not called to worry about that, because there are also going to be people who God has prepared their heart and has changed their heart so that it's a good and sincere heart, that the Word of God will go down into them and produce much fruit. I don't have to worry about the result. I need to worry about being a faithful sower, spreading the word, which is, oh, by the way in which there's reproduction in the body of Christ. But I want us to take a moment and not just assume. I want to ask you the questions that hopefully will lead your heart to evaluate. What type of heart do you have? Is it a hard heart? Is it a shallow heart? Is it a divided heart? Or is it good? Maybe another way to ask it is, what type of faith do you have? Do you have none? Is your heart hard and packed? Do you have shallow and superficial faith? It's temporary, and when hardships come, it goes away. You're just looking for the emotional joys that come from being in association with believers. Is your heart divided? And this one's a little sneakier, and it's just adding Christ and your faith as a priority in your life. But let me tell you this, brothers and sisters, and possible not brothers and sisters who think they are, in the long term, you will be shown for what your faith is. You will see that the passions and your loves and your worries for this world will ever grow and your faith will always take second position. It won't be even prominent in the end, and it definitely won't be preeminent overall. It will just be something that falls by the wayside, that's choked out. Or do you have a saving faith? And I want you to look at the three things that it says about saving faith, or this good soil, right? They hold it fast. This good soil holds it fast. We want to put it in all P's. I would say it protects the faith. Right? Number two, it produces fruit. It's reproducing, right? It's bearing fruit. And number three, it perseveres. It's not temporary. It's not something that fails with the first hardship. It's something that continues on and on. This fruit does not save you, as James 1:22 says. It is something that's supposed to show, right? He says, but prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. In the doing, fruit is produced. Are you one who protects and holds on to the faith? Are you one who produces spiritual fruit that can only be explained by the work of God? Are you persevering in the faith? Because the one who is truly saved, who has true faith, holds on, reproduces, and perseveres to the end. Which are you? I want to ask you the question, what do you do if you're not sure? 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves, or do you not know, or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test? Test yourselves. Evaluate yourselves. Be encouraged, if you are a believer, that God has the results. If you find yourself in one of the, well, any of the three first soils, and you say, I don't like what I see. I don't know that I'm actually saved because I can't see fruit. Then I would challenge you, pray. Pray for the sower to come and cultivate your hard heart, or to cultivate and pull out the rocks. Christ did not preach this sermon to tell people to be better soil. He taught this parable so that people could see what type of heart they had. There's only one person who works on souls, who changes hearts, who takes a heart of stone and puts in a soft heart of flesh, and that is God, very God. So if you find yourself that your heart looks like this hard ground or this rocky ground, or if it looks like this thorny ground, then you cry out to Him, because He's the one who can actually cause you to be born again. He can give you newness of life. He can break up that heart and implant the Word in you to cause true, lasting fruit. Pray for Him to exchange it. Repent of your sin. Recognize the pleasures of this world that you've been chasing after, the distractions that have been stealing where your focus should be. Repent from your sins and receive Christ. Make Him Lord of your life. No longer make it so that you're saying, Lord, I'll add you into my busy schedule. I'll make you a priority. No, no. He desires that He would be preeminent over all of it, unless a seed falls into the ground and dies. You notice the point there? There's a death to self. There's a crucifying of the old self. There's a burying that we would die, be buried, and raise again to newness of life in Christ. Many will come before Christ in the last day and say, Lord, Lord, didn't we cast out demons? Didn't we do all this stuff for you? Didn't we go to church? Didn't we pray? And he'll say, depart from me. I never knew you. That's not something that any one of us wants. We are called to test ourselves to see if we're in the faith. Is there true supernatural love in your life that is producing holiness and obedience to your Savior? A passion, a changed heart that produces fruit over and over again, that holds fast to the faith, that reproduces, and that perseveres to the end. If you can answer yes to that, then you can say, hey, I see fruit. And that should be very, very encouraging to you. It should be encouraging to all of us, because that fruit, when we love our enemies, we do good to those who hate us, that shows that the Holy Spirit's residing in us, that there's a supernatural power that is not normal, that leads us to look like our Savior. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, you know the hearts of all in this room. Lord, even among those who are good soil, sometimes, Lord, we enslave ourselves again to various lusts and sins. For this group, Lord, I pray that you would help them to run the race of faith and cast aside all the sins and the distractions that so easily entangle all of us, Lord, if we allow them, and run the race of faith with a joy and a hope that's set in heaven. Lord, we want to become more like you. We want to be used by you for your glory. Lord, we pray that each individual believer here in this church, and we as a church, would grow in holiness, that we would reproduce, that the fruits of the Spirit would be evidently growing among us, that it would be seen in lives that reject what the world calls good and you call evil, and would live in a joy that only comes from having a resurrected Savior. Lord, for all others here today, I pray that your Spirit would be gracious enough to shine a light on their deceptive hearts. Lord, that they would wrestle with the truth that says that each and every one of us is a sinner, and that the wages of our sin is death, and that salvation only comes as a gift from you. That those who call upon you come confessing that their hearts are wicked and evil, and their actions are as well, and that they have no hope of salvation except for to fall upon your grace, that you would take their sin. O Lord, transform their hard hearts, their shallow hearts, their divided hearts, and become preeminent in their life. May you rule and sit upon the throne of each individual here. And in so doing, may you receive all the glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.